Third John. Verse 5. We'll see how far we get this evening. Third John verse 5 says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." I know we read those verses, and I preached from those verses this morning. But this morning the focus was, what do we get excited about? What do we rejoice about? What's important to us? And it's important to John. He points out here it was important to him, and he rejoiced greatly, and he got excited when people, when Christians were walking in truth. Well, there's something else that I want to look at out of these same verses. There's another sermon to be preached here. There's probably 10 more sermons to be preached here, but I won't attempt that this evening. I'll try to just preach one. But what I want to see as we go back and look at these verses again before we move on is this: the character of this man named Gaius. We've already read that he is a man who is well beloved, that the people loved him, they cared about him, they thought a lot of him. You and I ought be that kind of person. We ought be someone that the rest of the church, that other believers, other Christians can say, "Boy, I love that person, that person." Why do you love that person? Because they're just, they love God, they love God's people, they're good to God's people, they take care of God's people, they help in the work, they help in the ministry, they serve, they're an encouragement to other believers. Come on, the fact is, sometimes whenever we're trying to get the work done, there are people, and I guess maybe there are always going to be out there, but sometimes there are people who just get in the way. Sometimes there are people who are so set on complaining about something, they're so set on having a problem with everything that the pastor or Sunday school teacher or somebody else in the church says. They're so set on having a problem and complaining and all of these things and bickering about things that they're not helping with the work. They're hurting the work. They're hindering the work. They would rather argue over something that they that they don't want to believe, that they don't want to agree with, even though the Bible states it plainly. I would rather argue over that than to just say, if God said it, that settles it, and be a part of the work. There are a lot of hindrances. Gaius is a man that helped the brethren, helped the work. And we're going to see that tonight as we look at the character of Gaius. First of all, in verse 5, he says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Gaius, whatever it is that you do, whoever it is that you're dealing with, you're faithful. Gaius was a faithful man. Here's a man who could be counted on. Do you know the joy of having a friend that you can count on? Do you know the joy of having someone that you know you can call on them, and out of love, they'll be there for you? Do you know the joy of having someone that if you ask them to pray and they say that they'll pray, they're going to pray? Do you know the joy of having someone in your life who's always there when you need them? They're always there. I mean, they wouldn't think. They wouldn't think of denying you if you had a need. There's no question to it. The fact is, We ought to be faithful in everything that we do. He says here, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest. So in everything that you do it faithfully. Now look, to the brethren and to strangers. Let me ask you this, are you encouraged by the faithfulness of others? Remember this morning we talked about how we all know people who served and lived for God and then they just gave up. Whether it was a pastor or it was a friend, somebody in the church, we all know of people who have served and then they just gave up. They just quit. They just got tired. It just wasn't worth it anymore. I was talking to Brother Tracy this past week on the phone, and we were talking about that. We were talking about how, you know, it just leaves you dumbfounded sometimes. And Brother Tracy was commenting on how when you're around these people or you're around somebody else that knew these people, it's almost like the elephant in the room. You know, like everybody knows the person just gave up and quit and turned their back, but no, you know, it's so shrouded, nobody really wants to say anything. And Brother Tracy made this comment. He said, don't you just wish one time they would just say, you know what? I just got tired of it. It was always phony. I never really bought into it. I was just going along with it, and I just got tired of doing that, and I gave up. He said, don't you just wish that people would just come right out and just tell you? The fact is, we all know those people. We looked at that this morning, but here's what we want to look at tonight. Let's look at the other side of that coin. Why aren't you encouraged by other people's faithfulness? I am encouraged by other people's faithfulness. Can I tell you something? You know, I hope that you know that I just stand up here and try to preach the word and keep my opinions and things out of it. And I know sometimes I give an opinion. I try to clarify it's an opinion whenever I give it, but I try not to give very many opinions. Try not to get on soapboxes. I'm human, so I probably do from time to time, but I try to just preach the Bible. I don't believe in badgering people. If you're not here for services for a couple of weeks and I call and check on you, it's because I'm concerned about you. It's because I want to make sure that nobody's sick. I want to make sure there's not a need. It's not, hey, get back in church. Come on, heathen, where you been? No, it's everything all right? It's not like you to be gone this many weeks in a row. Is everything all right? And normally the answer that I get is, yes, Pastor, we were out of town this week, and then this person got, and it's normally just, and then you're right back. It's normally not, I have called and checked on some people before, and it was, thanks for calling. And they never came back. And I was pretty sure when I called that they had probably made up their mind not to come back, but we check on them anyhow. But so I grew up hearing this. I grew up hearing the kind of preaching that said this. If you're not in the church every time the doors are open, then there's something. You're not faithful. You don't love God. You don't really care. I grew up hearing that kind of preaching. So because of that, I'm very concerned. I don't want anybody to think that what I'm about to say is that kind of a comment, because that's not what I mean when I say this. But do you understand that just your church attendance encourages other people in the church? This is not your pastor badgering you about church attendance. But do you understand that even when you just are in the church, you encourage your pastor, you encourage other believers? We're encouraged, aren't we? when Sunday morning comes around and there's, you know, everybody's here and then there are some visitors, none of us feels like, I don't think anybody does, I hope nobody feels this way. We don't feel as though, hey, look, boy, we're really growing. Boy, we got some numbers now. We can brag about it now. I don't think anybody feels that way. But be honest, doesn't your heart kind of swell? Not with pride, but doesn't it just make you feel good? Look, boy, look how many people came to worship God together today. Look at how many people came in and made it a priority today. Doesn't that encourage you? Not about numbers, not about building a church, not about you're a miserable Christian if you're not here every single time. It's about, do we realize that just coming to church, faithfulness in coming to church, encourages the rest of the church? Have you ever been in a dying church? You ever been in a church that finally had to close its doors or almost had to close its doors? Because one after one after another after another after another. Okay, if you've been there, you know how discouraging that is. That every time you walk in, one more person's gone, one more person's gone. So if that's discouraging, then it's encouraging when people are faithful, not to the pastor. You're not faithful to me, and you're not faithful to attending church, but faithful to God. And being in church is part of that faithfulness, and it encourages people. Are you not encouraged whenever you hear about someone who has continued in the faith? Are you not encouraged whenever you find out? You know, I had some have you ever had some friends, you've known some people, and you haven't seen them in years, and then you run into one of them, or you one of them just calls out of the blue, and you find out. You say, hey, how's everything? Well, we got divorced 3 years ago, and kids are living with me and this. And boy, doesn't it just break your heart? Okay? Doesn't it encourage you to see men and women that are faithful to their spouses and that stay at it and don't give up and don't walk out? Doesn't that encourage you? Hey, faithfulness encourages other believers, and faithfulness can breed faithfulness. You being faithful does not automatically make others faithful, but it does encourage others to be faithful. It's an example. He says here, to the brethren and to strangers. He was consistent. He was not one person at church and another person at work. He was not one person when the brethren were together and another person when he went to a family reunion. He was not one person in Sunday school and another person down at the grocery store. I know of a man. He was telling me about being in line. We went to church together. He was telling me about being in line in a store. And he said, there was this guy in front of me, and he was just going off on the lady behind the counter. Just, he didn't say he was using foul language or anything, but just really giving her a hard time and just really going off on her. And it was someone that we went to church with. The three of us, myself, this buddy, and this other person. We all went to church together. And he didn't tell me who it was. He didn't know the person's name. He just knew it was someone in our church. And he wasn't gossiping. He was talking about how this person hadn't even been saved that long, and he knew that's not right. We're not supposed to act that way. And we were talking about how sad it is that other Christians do that and give other people, other Christians, a bad name. He said that whenever the person got done giving this girl a hard time. They turned around and they're looking face to face with this other brother that they went to church with, and just kind of turn around and, what are you going to say? Oh, I was just kidding. And here this brother has to step up there and kind of apologize. I don't think he told her, that guy goes to my church. He just kind of stood up there and she was upset. And he said, that's unfortunate people act like that, isn't it? So you see, whatever you are in here, we ought to be everywhere else. We ought to be everywhere else. I understand that when we're at home, we're more comfortable than we are anywhere else. I get that. I understand that sometimes we almost put on a face whenever we come in here, but we ought not be putting on a false front. And we ought not be hypocritical about who we are. We ought not stand in here and knowing that we are imperfect and that our imperfections show, we ought not stand in here and act as if that isn't the case. Oh, I don't do that. I don't mess up. I don't do anything wrong. And then we go out there and mess up and do wrong. It ought be, you know what? I admit my imperfections and I know that I mess up sometimes, but we ought strive to be the same wherever we are. Said that he was faithful, and whatever he did, he was faithful, whether it was for the brethren or to strangers. We ought to be consistent everywhere. We ought to be consistent in all that we do. Verses 6 and 7 tell us that Gaius was hospitable towards the brethren. We talked about this morning. There were some men that had been going through that town, and he helped them and he aided them in their work. And then they came back and they told John about it. We looked at that this morning. We go to verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. So John's talking about how Gaius helps the brethren and he aids them and he is hospitable toward them. And then he encourages all believers to do the same. He encourages us to do the same thing. Back in 2 John verses 10 and 11, we're warned not to help spread false doctrine. Okay? If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. So in the last letter written to this lady, the book of 2 John, John says, don't help people that spread false doctrine. And if you are giving them the what they used to call the old glad hand, giving them the old glad hand, give them the pat on the back, he says here you're helping them, you're a partaker in their evil deeds. We are to rebuke. And so he warns us in the last book not to help people that spread false doctrine. Then here in 3 John, we're encouraged to help those who are preaching the truth. Don't help those that aren't. Help those that are. Now look what he says. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Don't be a partaker in the evil deeds of those that spread false doctrine. Be a fellow helper of those who preach the truth. Okay? Who are you encouraging? Who are you encouraging? Are you encouraging the Catholic or the atheist next door by just refusing to get into it with them? And it's not going to get into it. We all go to our own place. Or are you taking those opportunities to open up the Word of God and preach them the truth? It's one or the other. What are we doing? Well, you know, I'm not over there telling them that they're right. Are you showing them where they're wrong? Hey, you might not be telling them that they're right or that you agree with them, but are you showing them where they're wrong so they can get on track, so they can get saved, so they can get in the right kind of church, start being profitable? What are we doing to help do the work that needs to be done? Okay, so suppose you're not helping spread the false doctrine, but are you helping to spread the truth? Are you encouraging other believers? Are you filling your place? Are you doing your part? How many people spend more time trying to get along with false religions than they do helping the work in the body of Christ? Sometimes people spend more time and more effort trying to find common ground with people who don't believe this Bible. More time trying to find common ground with someone who does not believe the truth than they do trying to spread the truth and help and encourage those others who are spreading and encouraging the truth. So John says in 2 John, he says, if they don't have this doctrine, don't wish them Godspeed. You'll be a partaker of their evil deeds. And then he comes here in 3 John and he says, we ought be helping those who spread the truth. Can it be any more plain? What are we doing? What are we doing? Who are we encouraging? Are we encouraging false doctrine? Or are we trying to spread the truth and spread the gospel and tell people how to get saved and point people to the truth of God's word and encourage other believers who are doing the same thing? You know, sometimes some of you will come to me and say, I have been witnessing to, you might give me a name, you might not, it might just be somebody that you know. You say, you know, I've been witnessing to this person at work or school or in my family. Or you might say, you know what, I got this person I'd like to reach. I'm really wanting to reach this person with the gospel. Looking for an opportunity, give them the gospel. Sometimes you'll give me those prayer requests. And do you know that when I get to get down and pray, that you'll have that opportunity and that God will open up those doors and that you'll be able to give them the gospel, that I'm able to be a fellow helper in the truth? Do you know that as you pray for your pastor, and I believe that you do, and I pray that you do, because for one, I need it, because we all need to pray for each other. And I so desire your prayers for me, because I don't want to mess this thing up. I don't want to. So I pray and ask God to help me. And I know that you pray for me, and I so appreciate that. And I pray for you. You see, we're fellow helpers. We're helping one another. Lord, make them strong. Lord, give them the opportunities. And I look at a room full of people in different stages of their lives tonight. Some of you are still working. Some are retired. Some are still in school. But every person that I'm looking at has an opportunity to minister and to be a witness somewhere. We all have different fields. We all have different fields. For our teachers here, it's a schoolroom. It's maybe students or faculty or whatever it is. For some, it's an office. Some of you work in offices. Some of you see the same people. Some of you are, see Diana, Lisa. Some of you see the same people. Connie will see the same people for a while and then gets a new class of students. Some people, Brother Randy gets to meet different people on a pretty regular basis. See, we've all got these different. And as long as people go to McDonald's, Carol's always got new people to witness to. And does it with brownies. Brownies and gospel tracts. It's brilliant. It is brilliant. And by the way, last Sunday night we had somebody here as a result of brownies and gospel tracts. You see, it works. Some of you see the same people. Some of you meet new people. But can't we all say, I'm not a hermit. I get out and see people and meet people. There are people out there that I can do, that I can give the gospel to, that I can witness to, that I can invite to church. And so many of you do that, and then you'll tell me, I've been trying to get this person to come. And when I get to pray, then we're fellow helpers. And when you pray for me, you're a fellow helper. When we go out once a month and take the gospel out, if you're working on that day or you're physically not able to help, if you know we're going out that day, pray for us. Pray for us from 10 to 12, if you know we're going, that's usually about how long we go out. Pray for us. Be a fellow helper. I can't be there to help, but I can help in this way. It's encouraging to see people remain faithful. And we ought to encourage one another's faithfulness. It's clear. We ought to encourage one another's faithfulness. Who are you encouraging? Perhaps you're not helping the enemy. Perhaps you're not aiding the enemy. Perhaps you're not helping to spread false doctrine. Okay. But are you aiding the brethren? Are you doing the work? Are you helping others that are doing the work? Are we looking out for one another? The question ought to be asked, whose side are we on? Because there is no middle ground. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Going to attempt to finish out this book tonight, but that's why we skipped one of our hymns. I had Brother Dwayne skip one of our hymns because I thought I could finish this out tonight. You'd think that I would know me as well as you know me. You know me better than I know myself. Oh, I can do it. And you're all going, No, he won't. But anyhow, I thought we would finish this out tonight. That's why we skipped one of the hymns. And you know what? I just don't think it's going to happen. Oh, we could. We could. And I'm not worried about the time, and I'm not worried about anybody falling asleep. Because those of you that are going to fall asleep are already asleep right now, so you're already there. No, that's not what I'm worried about. I'm worried about, sometimes in a sermon, I guess the way to put it is this: when you cover too much at one time, then sometimes it's hard to retain all of it. It's easier to retain the smaller amount. You know, you don't just, you know, you, if we get through all of it, then it might be hard. We might forget some of it. So it helps us to remember it if we take smaller bites. So tonight will be a somewhat smaller bite. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. Are you faithful? Are you faithful? Are you consistent? Your faithfulness encourages other people's faithfulness. Are you consistent? Are you the same here and out there and here, there, and everywhere? Are you the same? Are you two different people? We're not supposed to be. Who are you helping? Who are you encouraging? Are you helping in the work? Are you encouraging those who do the work? Or are you helping and encouraging those who aren't? Are you more concerned with getting along with people who believe differently than you are showing them the truth? And helping those that are trying to spread the truth. Whose side are we on? There is no middle ground. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Christ says, pick a side. All right, pick a side. Stop trying to reconcile your worldly habits and your worldly friends and your worldly family and all these worldly things. Quit trying to reconcile them with the Bible and find some kind of justification to have these things in your life. Believe the Bible and stand up for what it says, or don't. You know, when I was a kid, growing up on the farm, we didn't have a lot of fences. Actually, the only fence I remember was the one that ran by the railroad track. Railroad track used to go right by the farm. Road track was right here. Here was one of our fields. That line was closed down and the tracks were taken out, I think, before I was born. My grandparents leased the little section of railroad track and that ran alongside the property, the railroad bed, and we used it as a road to get back to the back field sometimes, and we'd cut wood alongside the property there. Later on, it became a driveway for my cousin built a house down there and became a driveway. But I still remember, we even still now, we can go down there and walk and find railroad spikes and plates and things like that. You know, when I was a kid, those were treasures. And now they're treasures to, they were treasures to the big kids, and now to Clayson, their treasures go out there. But there was a fence that ran in between. There was the railroad bed, there was a little patch of woods. Maybe me to Wanda, there was, or maybe from me to John. It just wasn't a very wide stretch of woods there that ran along the side of the road track. Then there were the woods, and then there was our field. There was a, along the side of our field, there was a fence there. Barbed wire fence. I know at least the top wire was barbed wire. I know that. I'm getting ready to tell you how I know that. All the time jumping that fence, go play on the other side in the woods. Well, what I'll tell you is this, it happened to me over and over and over again. When you're halfway over the fence, that is no time to be indecisive. Okay, you need to be committed before you go over. You need to be committed to a side. But I would get a hold of that, and there was a rickety old fence, I'd get a hold of that fence post, and I'm talking, you know, fence post was a poplar tree, you know, about that big. That's what we use for, you know, they weren't metal store-bought posts. They were trees, a real fence post. And that fence would be, now the fence going up to it's regular fence, just regular, you know, I don't even know what kind of fence you call it, but you know, it's like big squares about that big in there and metal and wire fence and heavy duty. And then there's some barbed wire on top of it. Get your foot in one of those. If you grew up in the country, you know what I'm talking about. You get your foot in one of those squares and then the next square. Well, the older that fence gets, the more it does this when you get on it. And you're holding that post and you get up to the top. And I don't know how many times I'd be up there and I'd be like this and get that leg over and then you're doing one of these deals. You know, and then it's hard to just jump over because then your foot gets caught in the fence and then you're all torn up and everything. Oh, I did it all the time. Did it all the time. Because I'm a kid and I could have walked down to the end of the fence and walked around it. There was no gate, but I don't have time to do that. I got playing to do, you know. You get up there and you're doing this and then you're... Look, it's dangerous straddling the fence. You have no stability up there straddling that fence, do you? When you're straddling the fence, you're going to fall and get hurt. You're going to get caught in the fence. You ever climbed underneath a fence and the barbed wire was on the bottom? No, the dogs have been going through there. That's wallowed out enough where I could get through there. And you're going, sucking everything. I couldn't do it today. I couldn't even think about doing it today. But you're sucking everything in and you're going real slow and you feel that barbed wire catch that shirt. Or you hear it catch that shirt. You know, you're trying to slide through. Look, when you get up on top of that fence, you're in bad territory. You lose your balance, you're going to get hurt, you're going to fall. You're going to have to choose a side. We're going to have to choose a side. If we're already on the right side of the fence, then let's stay on the right side of the fence. If we're on the wrong, jump that thing and get over to the right as fast as you can and stay there. Because you get up in the middle of that thing. And you know something else about being on that fence? If you're up there trying to balance on that fence and you got a buddy on each side trying to bring you over to his side, you're in big trouble. Somebody comes along and grabs you, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? Christ said, you can't have it both ways. You're going to have to pick. You're going to have to choose. We look at these characteristics of Gaius, that he was faithful. He was consistent. He was hospitable. And John encouraged us to do those same things and to encourage other people in the work. We ought to find these characteristics in our lives, and it's time to make a choice. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that conviction would fall upon our hearts and we would see those areas where we are not doing the work. We're staying silent when we ought to be telling people the truth. We are helping the enemy. Or maybe if we're not helping the enemy, we're not helping in the work. We're just keeping our mouths closed or we're whatever it is that we're doing. Maybe we're on the fence. Lord, I pray you would convict us in those areas, make it plain, make it clear, and help us today to change and get our feet planted on the right side of that fence and be who it is that you'd have us to be so we can lead others to salvation and be faithful, and our faithfulness can be an encouragement one to another so that one day you'll tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we want to stand before you and have something to show for the time that you gave us, not that we just waited for you to come back and get us, but that we were in the battle trying to get some work done. But we're going to have to get our feet planted so that we can be used by you. I pray that you just work on us tonight and through this week and help us to just line up with Scripture, get right with you and your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.